I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. The art of quilting was very common in the late 18th and early 19th century in America, and you might be surprised how popular it remains today. Susan Marth is a quilter from Morrow, Illinois, who began the practice in 1992 and now designs quilts and conducts workshops to teach others. Susan Marth, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you, Steve.
Monday is President's Day, and one of your most popular quilts is the Abraham Lincoln pattern that you designed to commemorate his 200th birthday.
That's right.
Can you describe that for us?
Sure. It's a quilt that's approximately 48 by 54 inches large, and it was designed to hang on a wall, not used as a bed quilt.
So that's small, relatively.
It's a small, Yes. So the center of it has an applique face or portrait of Abraham Lincoln, and then that is surrounded by a border, if you would, of log cabin blocks because he was born in a log cabin. That is surrounded by four quotes that are hand-stitched in pearl cotton thread. And then those are surrounded by another row of blocks that are called courthouse steps, since he was a lawyer.
In a way, it looks sort of traditional to me, but in another way, not. And I can't technically describe what I'm thinking. But when I'm looking at the portrait of his face, how's that done?
That is applique.
Applique.
So there's basically an iron-on fusible web. It's like glue that is heat-set with an iron. So you first attach that to your fabric, and then you cut out the shape, which is Lincoln's head, and then again you use the iron and you fuse that onto the background fabric, and then you stitch it down to keep it there securely.
Is that a technique commonly done?
Yes.
I hear something about a die-cut outline.
Yes.
What exactly is that?
Okay. So people like me love doing tedious work. Other people like to look at tedious work but don't necessarily like to do it. So last year I had a company actually make the silhouette, so it's already fused and cut out, so all you have to do is peel the paper backing off, fuse it down to your fabric, and stitch around it.
And part of what you do is you do these patterns and other people use them.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Hmm. You also have a Mark Twain pattern.
I do.
Understand. Describe that.
I do. Well, it's very similar to the Lincoln pattern in size. And when I had the Lincoln pattern done, there's a quilt shop in Hannibal, Missouri called the Hickory Stick that I'm friends with the owner. And when she saw that, she loved it and started selling it and then asked me if I would also design Mark Twain because that's the home of Mark Twain there in Hannibal.
Right. Well, you have designed, isn't it something like more than 100?
Yes.
100 patterns?
Over 100 books and patterns.
So do most people these days use patterns? Do they not just create them themselves? And what's that all about?
Well, there are kind of two different quilters, people who follow things explicitly, and then there are others that are like me that are creative and like just the process of the design work.
Mm-hmm. So the people that use the patterns, are they more beginners or not necessarily?
No, not necessarily. Not everyone is designed or cut out to design their own work. They still do exquisite work, but they don't like the design portion of it.
Is that the tedious part you were talking about?
Not to me.
Not to you? Okay.
To me, that's the fun part.
Talk about the use of color, how important color is. And I don't know, do you have a particular palette that you work with?
Well, the fabrics that are in this Lincoln quilt are actually historically recreated Civil War fabrics. So they're kind of the darker, muted tones. So this is done in creams, reds, and blacks. And those are kind of my favorite colors. We kind of turn them as muddy colors.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to the bright, sunshiny yellow, purples, and greens, these are more muted.
But you can find them, I guess, it depends who does it, but you can find them in any color pattern. Or,
yes.
Right. Well, here's some interesting numbers. The quilting industry, something like $2.5 billion in sales last year?
Yes.
That's amazing. And I also understand there's something like one quilter in every third household? That's surprising to me.
Well, there are a lot of us out there, that's for sure. That's why there are so many quilt shops.
You know, there's a stereotype of, which I'm sure you've heard before, of a quilter maybe being the little lady in the church basement. A lot of people that don't quilt, don't you think they maybe have that idea?
Yes, but they've also not stepped inside of a quilt shop, or they would know.
Right. Well, I wanted to point out for the record that you are not that.
Thank you.
And you conduct workshops and you teach other people how to quilt, so you would know as well as anyone. Who are quilters these days?
Men, women, children, women up to probably over 100 years old.
How young are some of the people you teach?
Well, I taught my children how to sew. All three of them know how to sew. And I think I started when they were probably 7 or 8 years old on the sewing machine.
Wow. And you say men.
Yes, there are a lot of men, nationally known men, who quilt also.
That's surprising.
Definitely not as many as the women, but yes, there are a lot of nationally known men.
Of all ages as well?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, okay, we've established you're not the stereotypical quilter. But from what I understand, a lot of the younger quilters do more modern design and things, although I'll call you the younger quilter, and you tend to stick to traditional patterns, don't you?
Well, you know, it's just a personal taste.
That's correct, right?
People a lot older than I am that use the bright colors. There are people that are older than me that use the dark, muddy colors. I don't think that age necessarily dictates what color sense you have in your quilting.
Mm-hmm. You have a degree in interior architecture. What is that?
Back in a different lifetime, I worked for an architect, and I designed interiors for office buildings. So when people were either moving up to a larger space, I would do the space planning.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of office buildings here in the St. Louis area, I did.
Did any of that translate into your quilting?
Oh, sure. There's a lot of visual space planning that goes together into a quilt, actually. Balancing color, balancing space versus non-space, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I think it does. How did quilting come to you? I think what was it, 1992 you started quilting? So was it something someone in your family did, or how did you get into it?
No. Actually, my mom taught me to sew when I was very young, so I sewed in 4-H and all that sort of stuff. But then as you get older and went to college and worked full-time, there was no time for sewing. But then as I became a stay-at-home mom, Channel 9 actually had a quilting show on every Thursday afternoon at 12:30.
Really?
And so as my child went to take a nap and I was looking for things to do every Thursday at 12:30, I found myself stuck in front of the TV watching that quilting show. And so one day I decided, I can do that. So I went and bought the supplies, and that's how it happened.
Were you good at first?
Of course I was good at first, because I already knew how to sew.
Oh, yeah. But you've made it. It's sort of like a career now. I mean, you teach it. You have a website. You sell your patterns and things. So it's become
yes.
a business. Was that your intent in the beginning?
No. My intent in the beginning was just to have fun, play with fabric, make quilts, something I could do at home. And it was easily put away and brought back out again. And then probably, I guess I was quilting about 10 years. And as I joined a guild and other people saw stuff I was making, they were interested in making the same thing. So that's how I just started designing patterns.
You've mentioned these guilds a couple of times. What's the state of quilting in the metro area? I know there are quite a number of quilt guilds. Are there regular events and things?
Sure. There are quilt shows, annual quilt shows across the country. Well, actually, across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, usually a group of my friends and I go down to Paducah for a show, for instance, every, the last week in April. I go to Quilt Market twice a year where I sell my designs to quilt shops that come from not just the United States, but all over the world.
I think there's something like 20 quilt shops in like the St. Louis metro area alone, not including Illinois. So that's quite a few.
Yeah.
So how would a person get started? Is that what you would recommend, if you just walk into a quilt shop?
Yes, that would probably be a good idea. Take classes. There are lots of classes offered, and there are so many techniques that you can learn, little tricks and tips that help you get precise with your measurements and with making all your right. seams and points come together.
And how important is it to develop your own style as opposed to just maybe copying patterns and what you've seen before?
Oh, it's personal taste. It was very important to me, but a lot of people will just go into a shop, buy a pattern, and want to copy the exact thing, put each fabric where it is on the cover photo.
That's probably a good way to start.
That's a good way to start.
What are those elusive qualities, you think, that make a great quilt? What gets your attention?
Precision is definitely high on my list. In traditional quilts, usually corners need to match and points need to match and things like that. So accuracy, so that everything fits together and looks nice and neat.
Mm-hmm. I went to your website and I didn't really think of it, didn't, when I thought quilt, I thought, oh, they're all the same shape and sizes. But there are a lot of other things on your website besides a standard quilt. There are things that you called seasonal banners, table runners, wall hangings, pin cushions. There are even a number of jackets, I mean, wearable jackets.
Right. Did you also notice there are very few bed quilts on there? I made enough bed quilts for us all to have quilts on our beds, and it's a lot more fun to make things to hang on walls. So yeah. I decorate our home with seasonal quilts.
How much time does it take? What's the time investment? Can that range a lot?
Oh, it can certainly range a lot, and I don't measure it because I'm also a stay-at-home mom, so I do all the cooking and the cleaning and the grocery shopping and running of errands. So my time is very chopped up. And if someone asks me how long it takes me to make something, for instance, there's no way for me to calculate it.
And I guess it'd be easy if you're in the middle of something and you just have a busy time in your life, you can put it down for a week or two or longer and you pick it up and start right where you started.
Right.
Right. Well, if someone's interested in seeing some of your work, we're going to have a picture of your Lincoln quilt at our website, stlpublicradio.org. Also, if you go there on the Cityscape page, we'll have a link to your website as well, and people can find out more about you and about what you do. We've been talking to quilter Susan Marth. We want to thank you so much for sharing what you do with us today.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me.
And time now for a look at the Cityscape calendar. The Sheldon presents vocalist Denise Times and guitarist Bucky Pizzarelli in a program titled Be My Valentine. That's tonight at 8 o'clock at the Sheldon Concert Hall. The Black Reps production of Katori Hall's The Mountaintop, a fictionalized account of Dr. Martin Luther King's Last Night on Earth, opens tonight at 8 and will continue through March 9th at the Grand Ole Theater. The New Music Circle and Washington University present the Chris Davis Quintet in a concert tomorrow evening at 7:30 in Washington University's 560 Music Center on Trinity at Del Mar. Philip Barnes conducts the St. Louis Chamber Chorus in Music and Movies Go Hand in Hand, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at St. Anthony of Padua Catholic Church on Merrimack. The program features the world premiere of a new version of Psalm 23 by Oscar-winning composer Trevor Jones for the film adaptation of Kate Moss's supernatural thriller, Labyrinth. Although it will be the work's premiere, the St. Louis Chamber Chorus recorded it last year for the film's soundtrack. And the St. Louis Low Brass Collective presents trombonist Jim Pugh in concert Tuesday evening at 7 in the Maryville University Auditorium. And you can find out more about these and other events on the events section of stlpublicradio.org. Also, our theater reviewer, Donna Peroni, has her take on three current local productions: Stray Dog Theater's Psycho Beach Party, The Rep's Sense and Sensibility, and New Jewish Theater's Speed the Plow. They're available on the arts and culture section of our website. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he'll talk with Terrence Blanchard about issues raised in Champion, his new opera based on the life of a gay boxer. It will receive its world premiere by Opera Theater of St. Louis in June. Don will also talk with the producer of a C-SPAN series examining the lives of White House first ladies. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, engineered by Aaron Dorr, with production assistance from Spencer Reed and Drew Becker. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and please join us next week.